a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
So we've each shared our history.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a brand new day. It is nice to have you here with us. I put Matt on the spot real quick on the other side of the glass. I didn't mean to do that to you right off the top of the show today.
Does it start with talking?
Huh?
Does it start with talking?
No. It's it says big boy on there. I've got him running around like a one-arm paper hanger. There he is. That's all right. Yesterday, Spike 150, so we thought we'd start the day with the big boy blowing his horn there, which is great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Matt may need to bring your microphone up in the other room. Now try it.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Can you hear?
Okay. Yeah. You hear yourself okay?
No.
Yeah, so turn that thing up. There you go.
I'm sorry. I slapped your hand away from doing that. Maybe I really needed it.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. We are going to talk about this crazy week here in Utah that got attention not just around this state, but around this country and around the world. There were representatives here from other countries yesterday up at Promontory.
Yep.
But it's nice to have you waking up with us. Tim Hughes, and that familiar voice next to me, of course, is Ross Smith from Sky Call.
Yes, I am.
Who tells me... You haven't been to bed at all. Or you went
well,
to bed,
I
you just
to
didn't
bed,
sleep.
No sleepy. Got back up again about
so how long you been in the parking lot across the hall or across the street?
Half hour. That's all.
Oh. Mm.
What happens if I get up early, I go down to the shop and I start working on stuff. And I look at
and then you can't go back to bed.
I'm late.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You told me you were on a Patriot Guard mission, and the
funny thing, I was coming
back from a remote broadcast at Cal Ranch Stores in Layton, and there was a major traffic jam on Legacy. And
Patriot Guard that was jammed.
No, but
clear.
I saw the Patriot Guard all lined up, flags flying, had the vests on, and I figured you were there somewhere.
And we were ahead of the crew with the flags, Chris and I.
Yeah.
And... we had great stories when they got there in that people moved out of their way. It was really nice. I mean, it was a pretty big procession.
Yeah, it was.
And we were headed to up to Ogden. There was no quick way to get there yesterday. I listened to, I don't know how many cycles of the news I listened to on KSL.
Traffic updates.
Listening to Tim at Cal Ranch. That was exciting.
Well, it was DeWalt days at Cal Ranch Stores. Come on, baby.
And they got a lot of DeWalt.
That's a big day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Matt is also here. Matthew Jalali and our producer.
Good morning.
Are you a train guy? Grew up a train guy? No?
I enjoy trains. I would assume the average amount. I have been on trains and have enjoyed the Hebert Creeper the first time I came here to Utah.
Right,
and that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have... toy trains as a kid, or
we had like one. It was like a heirloom is probably not the right word. We did have one, yes.
Yeah.
And then my first job, one of the draws was we had a train that went around the entire restaurant we worked at.
Oh, cool. Wait, up in Heber City?
No.
They've got one up there.
Yeah, back in Michigan.
I got you.
So. we were all trained out at the time, if you will.
Yeah, when you're in charge of maintaining the train at the workplace, yeah, it tends to ruin your fun for being a train guy.
Kids.
Yeah. I'll tell you somebody that is a train guy, and I know that because I spent a full day with him and some of his buddies from California, is Bill Rogers.
Good morning, good morning.
The voice of Disneyland is back with us this morning. You came in town specifically for that, didn't you?
Just
for Mother's Day.
Yeah,
weekend.
And for Mother's Day and a whole lot of other things. But the fact is, we planned around all of the Spike 150 events, and boy, we were not disappointed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And as I mentioned, representation from, you know, the highest levels of government in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
To
Secretaries of Transportation and the Interior, both yesterday at Promontory.
And foreign countries also here being represented. And the changes that, you know, the Transcontinental Railroad and the driving of the Golden Spike made not just to this country, but to the world, really. And it was really quite a moment. And hats off, by the way, to all those who were behind the scenes planning that. Our Doug Wright was actually on that committee, and it's something they've been working on for a long time. And since Doug was up there doing some announcing, had some announcing duties, I filled in on the movie show yesterday at Sound Sleep Medical and then had to make my way up to Layton for a remote broadcast. But I didn't get to go to Promontory. You did yesterday.
Yes, yes. And a friend of mine described it best. He said, you know, we decided we were going to get there early, and we literally got off the freeway at 6:30 in the morning, and by the time
off the freeway,
off the 15 what is that? Just Tremont and Highway or Tremont and Road, whatever. Anyway, he said, I looked in the rearview mirror 5 minutes after we got off the freeway, and there was nothing but a huge line of white lights behind me.
Yeah,
he's just amazing.
Well, what did they say? I think they said there was 20,000.
Something like
20,000 people up there. And
everybody was admonished to bring a full load in their vehicle. You know.
Yeah. This is carpool.
Carpool.
Yeah. Just wasn't quite sure. Yeah,
thank you, Russ. I appreciate that.
So we're going to talk trains this morning, and I won't give it away yet, but I had the chance. Bill, you know, included me in the group, and thanks, I know he's out there listening, thanks to our common buddy, Chris Dallin.
Yeah. He was into it.
Let me tell you something. Chris Dallin is a mover and a shaker
at that
end of the valley, and introducing us to everybody of importance.
You need anything, that end of the valley.
County commissioners, mayors. Yeah. He's already working on plans for next year, I think.
Yeah, he is. Literally.
Yeah. And so a lot of this wouldn't have happened without Mr. Dallin. So we recognize him and say thank you for helping to share this experience. Anyway, we had a full day. We went and saw the big boy after the guys flew in from California and got some pictures, convinced the one of the guys working with the train to blow the whistle for us so we could get some audio that we could put on the air. And then ran back, put tuxes on, and had to go back for a black tie affair from 5 to 6:30.
Yep.
They wouldn't let us into the main gala where they were actually feeding people because that would ruin the party.
We want to keep it happens to me a lot for everybody else.
But afterwards, we didn't get back to the Airbnb, which, by the way, nice place. It was a nice place.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only problem is it's right at the runway to Hill Air Force Base.
But you know what? There's people that probably book it because of that, too.
Well, there are probably.
I love being underneath the runway over there.
Well, it's fun to watch the F-16s or the F-18s. It is not fun when you're trying to sleep or early in the morning at 9 o'clock when these things start jetting off on top of
you. You can get used to it after a few years, you know.
After a few years. Yeah, that's the whole idea right there. Cool. Just after a few years, you'll be fine.
If we were ever under attack, you would love that noise. If you're trying to sleep at 9 o'clock in the morning,
not so much.
Anyway, we got back to the B&B at, it was like 11:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And I pulled out my recorder, and we sat down, and we talked trains, and we talked Walt Disney. Mm. And we're going to share that conversation with you in two pieces this morning, one at 6:35 and then at 7:35. Just a fun conversation. And you're saying, well, okay, what do trains have to do with an outdoor show? Well, look, we talk about national parks all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Spike National Historic Park happens to be in our backyard. And really, this week is a good example of why we should talk as much about that as we do about Zion or Bryce or...
Yep, good point.
You know... Bear's ears.
Bear's ears, yes.
We don't talk about that.
we don't know what that is yet.
We don't know what
it's
that is.
It's gone through several different gyrations. But it is one of the reasons why people come to Utah. When they come here, they want to see that.
They want to see it.
Yeah. And so we're going to focus on that and share some great, just great stories of some fun guys. Fun guy on the show today. Also, I had a chance a couple of days ago to sit down for a few minutes with our sport fish coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. And this morning at 7:05 in our usual slot with the division, we're going to talk about the redesign of their website. They've got a new interactive map for fishermen.
Oh, good.
And I poked him a little bit because we're always talking about, you know, the map they used to have with the color-coordinated dots that you could tell whether it was hot fishing or good fishing.
Or colorblind.
Yeah, really hard.
The hot and the bad
look the same.
One's red, one's brown.
Yeah, and that's really
look the same to me.
But there is now a way for fishermen themselves to get on, and it's very smartphone-friendly. It's not an app yet, but it is smartphone-friendly, to get on there and add your own fishing experience and give a little report that then can be shared with others.
Okay, that could go wrong, you know.
It could. And people like you with that little glimmer in your eye.
That could go very wrong.
You know,
great Salt Lake, great fishing today.
Yeah, there you go.
Lots of brine shrimp.
Yeah, got some great brine shrimp up at this great Salt Lake today. Or
bag the limit.
Caught a 10-foot shark. Yeah. Here's where you need to be, just off of the south end of Antelope Island. Anyway, we'll share that conversation with you as well. Navinovskis will give us a full fishing report from his experience last week, and we've got our news of the week, which is coming up right around the corner. So, hey, thanks for joining us. If you want to actually join the conversation, you can always do that at 801-575-8255. That's KSL Talk. We'll come back with that news of the week next. Don't go away. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us this morning for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. Time for some news of the week here. I didn't mean to bypass you chiming in on trains.
Oh,
I didn't realize you were a train guy when you were
young. Well, I'm not like an aficionado, but I really enjoy trains, and we kind of played with... How do I say that?
be careful.
We camped a lot along the tracks. No. But, yeah, I like trains.
We rode the rails when my family across the country.
I was telling Bill, we camped a lot out in the west or the east Mojave out along the railroad that comes out through and then through Vegas.
Just to watch the trains?
No, to do other stuff. But we always came down to Kelso Station, which is a historic station out there, because they had water. And we're in the desert.
Yeah.
You've got to have water, too. And the boys, which were probably started like when they were 6 years old. We would spend a good part of the day putting junk on the rails.
Oh.
That's probably a bad thing to do.
Just to see if you could squash a quarter.
Quarter, a lizard.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, whatever you had to put on. We didn't ever put anything big on the rail. You know?
Can everyone now understand why I don't ask him to share personal stories from his kids growing up days? It usually is bordering on getting him arrested for something.
Well, yeah. I'm in a different state now. Now, you wondered why I moved to Utah.
Hey, it's time for the first call of the day, gentlemen, so please help me if you would. Yes. Say good morning to James.
Well, good morning, guys. That it really crisp. Hasn't been a good morning. Last night, about 12 hours ago, 7:20, which is about this time, Central Time, we were without power for 3 days. We had 90-mile-an-hour straight-line winds and
water was nuts.
A lot of water.
It cut a swath, and we were just without power. We had roof damage, and normally we go to a church friend worker to help us out, and I drove over to his place, and his roof was hit, and right next to him was a big pine tree with two great big, what I mean by big is 12-inch diameter limbs just poking through it like giant toothpicks. So.
Well, we were in the car on Thursday, and your daughter called from somewhere
from
in Texas.
New Braunfels.
New Braunfels. I don't know if you know where that is, James. But
yeah, I know where it is. It's some distance from us.
She was just trying to ease Dad's mind that they hadn't got the rowboats out yet down there.
Yep. And
it's not a matter of just rowboats. Anyhow, we got a patch of our roof was covered by a tarp already, and I'm just kind of waiting and watching the ceiling. It was torn due to that 90-mile-an-hour wind, so I may be seeing drips before long.
Well, I'm glad you're safe.
Did you have any tornadoes touch down? Or was it
east of me, maybe, I'm guessing, about 3 miles. I just learned that by, this is my first access to a computer for 3 days and everything, and they say it was not a straight line above us, and then it touched down, and then it lifted, but it just knocked out power for thousands of people and everything.
Wow.
Anyhow, first point, I do, you can tell I'm pretty somber. I do like Promontory Point. I'm glad about Celebration. The only story that I did hear about on a radio and all that was about an armed school official putting down a deer. Well, I guess it was a wildlife official, and he spooked a school in Utah. Where was that? Heber City, or did you even hear about that?
I didn't hear about it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was up in the Heber Valley.
And I was just surprised they didn't give just advance notice. Hey, we got a situation here, and one shot and not have to close down a whole school or everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, that's about all I have. I'm enjoying your program. It's something in the midst of all this misery and everything.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. And it is a story.
Glad the house was spared, but I'm sad it was hit, though, even a little bit.
It is a story that ABC News has been following, and we, of course, take ABC at the top of the hour, so we'll keep an eye on it. But thanks for the update.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks. All right. One of the pieces of news of the week from the Division of Wildlife Resources was something I don't remember ever talking about, and I didn't really know that people actively went out and did this or that it was even legal in Arizona.
Yeah.
What?
I just think it's funny how you're like, I didn't even know people did this or that. It's legal. Well, Russ is like, this.
I didn't know there was rules on it.
We talk about hunting certain things and, you know, different seasons during the proposals to changes for hunting.
What's the limit on salamanders?
The headline
27.
Is, proposed rule changes would allow easier collection of non-venomous native reptiles or amphibian.
Gopher
snakes. I didn't know this was a thing. Huh. But Utah's home to 61 native species of reptiles, 15 native species of amphibians, and the rule change proposed to simplify the process for the public to collect these species. And currently, people interested in collecting, possessing, or breeding native amphibians and reptiles required to obtain a certificate of registration. They have three different levels for this. Now, am I wrong? Was this even on your radar?
No. I mean, I didn't know that the department got involved.
I didn't either. But another new change in the proposal would set a bag limit for the number of reptiles and amphibians that could be collected. The bag limit categories vary from species to species, but include the following options. First, limited, which is a 2-yearly bag limit with 4 total in a person's possession at one time. It's not like you got, you know,
why would they have bass
in your krill here.
Why would they have an in possession? Is somebody going to stop and eat them?
Oh, they're taking them home to put them
in
a terrarium.
In possession. Yeah. Anyway, okay, go ahead. Okay.
Then there's the standard level, 3-yearly bag limit with 9 total in a person's possession, and the expanded is 25-yearly limit.
25
in a year.
You go down to the last, Wildlife Board, if the Wildlife Board approves the proposal, it will go into effect January 1 of 2020. But the last paragraph, I'll just read it for you, says, if someone was interested in collecting and possessing venomous reptiles like rattlesnakes, they'd still be required to get a certificate of registration.
That's right.
There is also an age requirement of 18 years old. However, even the certificate of registration, or even with it, people would have to or would be required to follow their city ordinances to make sure they can legally keep venomous reptiles. Non-native venomous species would still not be allowed in Utah without obtaining a variance from the Utah Wildlife Board.
No cobras. We don't like cobras.
But a lot of these species are protected. So,
well, rattlesnakes are protected, I thought, in a lot of places. But I don't. Obviously, that may not be true.
Well.
If you have a bag limit on rattlesnakes.
I don't have to worry about any of this stuff because my wife wouldn't let me within 100 miles of the house with
now,
me.
folks, make sure you know which is venomous and which isn't before you start the process.
Please do.
Yeah. Yes. Check it out. There's anyway, books. There's you can yeah. get it online. You know,
if you want to read more about it and try and get a better understanding of it, and you're so inclined that you want to go collect reptiles and amphibians,
and have them in your house.
Go to wildlife.utah.gov. We'll tell you more about their redesign of the website. Really is good looking. Mm. After the top of the hour, and Randy Opplinger will join us. But news is next. Dan Bomas stands by in the KSL News Center.